Welcome to this introductory lecture on prototyping. I am Leik Nøgrim.
And I am Monica Johannessen.
And we are both professors at Oslo and Akershus University College of Applied Sciences. So, Monica, what is a prototype?
A prototype is some can be a model of a future product, mm-hmm. or it can be a version of a product. It's typically that prototypes are developed within the field of engineering, where you need to try out airplane features, try out how a boat goes in the water, aerodynamic parts of a car, and so on. Prototyping are often made also for things that are very expensive. Hmm. So instead of making expensive parts before knowing that they're really working well, they make prototypes and try out certain features before they go into mass production. Hmm. Prototypes are also made for testing one particular side of a product. And now we kind of talked about mostly physical artifacts, but mm-hmm. of course this is also relevant for for information systems, mm-hmm. web systems, that you try out a certain feature of the system before you go into making it in a full version. Mm.
So prototyping is really making a prototype.
Yes, yes. Right. Prototyping okay. is the process of making a prototype.
And in system development, what is it then? How can it be used?
There are two principal ways of using prototypes mm-hmm. in system development. The first one we call enhanced requirements specification.
That's the
way.
Upper one there.
The upper one here, yes. Mm. And then we have the other one that's called stepwise development. Mm-hmm. Let me explain a little bit now. Mm-hmm. In here we see the system life cycle as a skeleton for explaining what's happening. Mm-hmm. And typical then in the enhanced requirement specification way of working, you will do repetitions of analysis, repetition of design, and repetition of realization mm-hmm. to try out thing, refinement, make it better in mm-hmm. versions, mm-hmm. but still you do this within the each of the phases in the life cycle.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you finish with your tryout in analysis, and then you do tryout for design.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then you do tryout for realization. Mm-hmm. And the day the system is finished, it is a finished system, and it will be taken into use. And then we have the step-by-step development model. Mm-hmm. That is, then you do all parts of the life cycle. You do a kind of small version, focusing on a smaller part of the system or a particular feature of the system, but you do all of it and you actually take it into use. The little part you have made mm. is then started to use, and then you make another part mm. and you use that one mm-hmm. and then you add a third part and mm-hmm. use that one. So this is two principal ways of using prototypes in system development.
So maybe we should look into it in detail then and see how it can be done in practice.
Yes. Here is one model of how you can work in detail. Mm-hmm. Notice the dotted line here, mm-hmm. Making a division between the analysis and design part and the realization part. That is telling us that this model is a enhanced requirement specification way of thinking. Mm. Because we see that the cycles and the iteration, they are actually happening in the analysis and design phase, mm. and the realization phase is then coming afterwards. Mm. And what we see here is that we have some circles indicating work processes, and we have some squares indicating products. Mm. So you do then analysis and several versions of design. You make a prototype, check out how it's working, and that will do something. You test that prototype, and it will actually influence your design and analysis phase. Mm-hmm. And then you go back and you do some redesign, a new prototype, a new testing, and then you can do this several times. And maybe you even have to actually go back to the analysis. And then after a certain period, you will then make what we call a specification, the contract I was talking about in another lecture, saying that this is what we will deliver. And then you agree upon that, sign the contract, and you deliver then a system.
And the dotted line may also distinct between reflection and action.
Yes,
where you have the action, or maybe it's not a dotted line. Maybe you do it all the time.
Yeah, I think that, of course, the real action is coming here. But then we are talking about the action that is not very reversible. Yeah. But the action that is more a part of the reflection, that is happening here. Mm-hmm. Because you do these prototypes, you're making these not so expensive realizations. And they make the surroundings for reflection.
Yeah.
When you come to this realization, then you actually have put too much effort into it to redesign it very much.
And we probably have some other methods or models on prototyping as well, because you were talking about these two different ways of doing it.
Yes. If we go into the stepwise way of thinking, there is one quite famous model made by Boehm already in 1998. Mm-hmm. It's called the spiral model, and it's interesting because it has here in this part of the model a focus on risk. Yeah. And that is probably, or not probably, we know that it is because when you start having this kind of processes where you make a system, at least part of it, take it into use, and you make it a new version of the system, take that into use, and another version of the system, this is costly, it is time-consuming, and it's a lot of different roles that should be a part of this process. And therefore, risk management seems to be very important. In the traditional model, the risk management is coped with by having a fixed period for each phase and a contract point. Mm. In this, you have no fixed period for setting a contract about what to deliver. Mm. So risk management must be performed all the time in this process.
And I think also in this model, you shouldn't think so much about the specific writings there. It's the idea that you start in the upper left corner and you do something and then you do the risk analysis and based on the risk analysis you go further and you decide what to do, what to implement in the lower right corner. And then you do some new requirements, what to do next, and then the system will be bigger and bigger in the the circles there.
And what we see then at in the end here, you will actually find the names of the traditional system development. Here you have all the implementation, the realization, and everything, because finally it will be a full system. But we have also another model presented in the textbook, and this is also a stepwise model. It's also called STEPS. And the interesting thing about this model is, of course, it's the same kind of cycles. You start up here and you have first the idea about the system, and then you do something. You produce something and then you have a system version and you have users and experts relating to that system, new version of the system, and again, new design and new realization. But the interesting thing about this model is that here you have a clear vision of the roles in the project.
Yeah, you have the designers and the users doing different things, or when they are working together and when they have to do their specific work tasks, the users and the designers.
And the nice thing about this model, having user put into the model also emphasized the idea that users are an important part of system development.
And the mutual learning between users and the designers.
But then, how can we use these prototype systems, do you think?
Well, there are at least two main ways of doing it. The one is what we call vertical prototyping, meaning that you take some functions and work with this. For instance, testing a small part of a system, for instance, input, without caring too much about the interface or how long it takes, the response time and things like that. And that is typically designer's task, but it can also be done with together with the users. And then you have the horizontal prototyping, meaning that you take the whole system and making or larger parts of the systems, and without caring too much about speed or database access or the technicalities, but to have an idea of how the system will look like and how it will work. And this is typically done with together with the users. So that is the vertical and the horizontal prototyping. And usually in a real development process, you do both.
Yes. And to visualize a little bit more, the vertical prototyping would be, for instance, checking out the power of an engine, while if you're going to the traditional engineering field. And horizontal prototyping, that would be, for instance, checking the air conditions or the aerodynamics of a plane. Then you have this plane that is empty inside. Trying it out on that. So then to summarize it all, prototyping is can be used for, first of all, exploration, where you clarify requirements of particular features. It can be both horizontal and vertical. And then it's experimentation, testing a proposed solution, mostly vertical. Then you go into deep to check, for instance, how fast can a search engine find the data from a database, for instance. And then you have evolution, that is gradual development, first horizontal and then more and more vertical. And what we see in the spiral model and step models, for instance.
So this concludes the introduction to prototyping.